When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, we do have the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. Don't miss it. They've got another great show coming up today. We might have to talk to a little bit of Thunder, Mitch Nellis, coming up in the third segment here. I heard he wants to chat in segment three, so we're going to chat with Mitch, I think, coming up in the third segment, so look forward to that as well. But right now, we've got Wendell Fajeda, A to Z Sports, covering the Packers down in Brazil. You can find him on social media at WendellFP. We are running the gamut of our international guests, our third week in a row, and I'm so excited to talk to Wendell. Wendell, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
Hey, Andy, how are you doing? Really happy to be here. It's a pleasure for me, and you know how much I appreciate your work, so let's talk some Packers.
Hey, let's do it. I'm so excited about this. And obviously you had the opportunity. Let's actually start there. I wasn't going to ask this, but you had the opportunity, obviously, for the Packers to go down to Brazil earlier this season. Unfortunately, the outcome was not what we wanted. But how amazing was that still to have the Packers be able to go down to Brazil and you to get to experience that as a fan and obviously covering the team?
Yeah, first, because when I started watching football and covering the Packers, I never imagined in my life that the Packers would eventually come to here to Brazil to play football. So that experience to watch a game live, I had never watched an NFL game live, so that was crazy. And everything about and around it, for example, on Thursday, one day before the game, going to practice and going to the pressers with Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, all those experiences and meeting fans and meeting people from the U.S., that was a great experience overall. Obviously, the game felt a little underwhelming with the loss and with Jordan Love's injury, but the experience overall was amazing.
That's awesome. It was really cool to kind of see how they put everything together. Again, unfortunately that Green Bay didn't come away with the victory, but still cool that everyone down in Brazil, especially, you know, Packer fans like yourself, got to experience that. And just to even to experience an NFL game, it sounds like it's going to probably be something that potentially happens again in Brazil. So I'm excited about that for you guys also. Now, you know, as you mentioned, the Packers did lose that game. They've been 9-3 ever since that loss to Philadelphia to open the season. Wendell, just as you kind of look at this team and kind of take a step back as we kind of have this mini bye week, how are you feeling about the Packers at 9-4, 13 games into the season, 4 games remaining, and as they get ready to hopefully make a playoff run here?
Yeah, it's crazy because they are third in the division, as you were talking about before. The NFC North is just crazy. But being the third place in the division doesn't mean the Packers are not a top team in the NFL, I think. They are third in DVOA, which is a metric that measures teams against the opposition. So that puts together how well the Packers have played lately. They're doing less self-inflicted mistakes. I think that's a big part of the problems the Packers had during the early parts of the season. It's a tough division, but the Packers' ceiling is as high as anyone in the NFL, and I think they are playing at a much better level. Matt LaFleur is a good coach, and you can measure a good coach because the team plays well and better during the season, right? The second part of the season tends to be better than the first. And that's exactly what's happening with the Packers. Jordan Love, obviously, is healthier, and that helps too. But I think Matt LaFleur is the big reason why the Packers tend to be better throughout the season, and I think that's happening again. My expectation for the Packers is to play even better later in the season if they are motivated. It's a young team. They are learning, but I think they're putting everything together to make a stretch run here, and I think they have all the talent in the world to do that.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur has an unbelievable record in December, obviously coming away with a loss, unfortunately, last week to the Lions. But still, I think the only three losses he has in December, Tampa and New York last year, and then Detroit this year. Hopefully, he can kind of continue that over the course of the next 4 weeks here. And then, of course, maybe even be better in January coming up, which would be amazing. Now, one of the big topics this week has been Jaden Reed and kind of his lack of production within the offense over the course of the last month or so. I know you wrote about how Matt LaFleur has a potential plan to get Jaden Reed a little bit more involved. You know, how can Green Bay go about doing that and making sure that he is still a focal point of this offense?
Yeah, Jaden Reed, over the last month, he had only 7 yards throughout 4 games. So that's obviously underwhelming. He is the Packers' best receiver, in my opinion. But the Packers don't have a clear wide receiver one, the so-called wide receiver one. But I think they have to use Jaden Reed more because he's their most talented player at the position. So LaFleur said basically that the Packers didn't use Reed much against the Lions. He didn't have any receptions in that game because they were playing initially 11 personnel and Detroit was matching it with base defense. Basically base defense, because Jamal Adams, they were treating him as a linebacker. So the Packers tried to go heavier with heavier personnel late in the game. And even without Romeo Dubs available, Jaden Reed only played 50% of the snaps, and they were basically going with bigger guys in Christian Watson and Dontavian Weeks for most of the game, and with the 12 personnel to match what the Lions were trying to do. So I think what Matt LaFleur said, and I think they will try to do over the next couple of games, is use Jaden Reed more as a boundary wide receiver, as a wideout. Because he has the potential to do that. When he was coming out of the draft, some people were questioning if it was worth to take a slot receiver in the second round. And the argument for that was that Jaden Reed could be more than that. He could be, for example, a Z receiver. And I think he can do that. I think he's an electric player. When the Packers put a ball in his hand, he can do whatever. And I think the Packers have to find ways to put the ball in his hand. Playing him wide out, I think, is a good strategy. But also trying to more quick game, I think something that the Packers haven't done much this year is the quick game. Jordan Love's average depth of target is crazy. It's crazy high. Yep. And I think that's an issue for the Packers in terms of quick game. And it's lacking for the offense. And I think Jaden Reed's probably the best weapon to do that.
Yeah, I was asked about that the other day. Actually, I was doing a live show last night, and somebody asked me about that, of like, why is Green Bay not using some of the underneath stuff like we've seen Miami and Detroit have such great success with over the last couple of weeks? And I kind of agreed. I'm like, yeah, I think they probably need to do a little bit better job of that. Yeah, I thought Miami was probably a better, you know, we saw a little bit more of that if they allowed, you know, Tucker Kraft and Josh Jacobs and Jaden Reed just to kind of get some of the underneath stuff and kind of do some run after the catch. But I agree with you. I think they need to be able to use a little bit more of that in the offense, not have to do so many of the shots down the field and maybe make Jordan do some of the heavy lifting in that regard. And then to your point too, like Jaden Reed has the ability to do a variety of different things in the offense. And whether that is, we know we can play in the slot. I agree with you. I think he has the ability to play outside. And then we've even seen him lined up in the backfield from time to time as well. If they can't get him on the field in the slot, then I think they just have to be a little bit more creative and intentional about getting him on the field and getting him the ball. To me, I think you should basically bake about 4 touches into the offense at minimum for Jaden Reed just about every game. It hasn't exactly been happening as of late, and hopefully they can get back to that this week against Seattle. Now, speaking of that offense, Jordan Love has been playing a lot better since really coming off the bye week. To me, it has nothing really to do with the bye week other than him getting healthy and us seeing the Jordan Love that we kind of came to expect going into this season. What have you seen from Jordan over the second half of the season so far, and what can we expect from him for the remainder of the year?
Yeah, that's crazy because he got hurt right in front of me here in Brazil, and when he got hurt, when he went down, everyone thought the season was over for him and basically for the Packers, because the surroundings around the locker room and during Matt LaFleur's press conference, it was so heavy, you know. People were really concerned about his health. And it obviously, it was a serious injury, an MCL injury. it's somewhat not so concerning as other ligament knee injuries, but it was still pretty tough to handle. And now we can see that he's getting his game back together. And for him, his movement and how he manages the pocket, it's pretty important to be healthy, to be physically okay to play. And we can see that in his game now. Between weeks 1 and 9, his turnover worthy play rate was 3.7%. And, you know, 11 interceptions were probably too much for him, considering his turnover worthy play rate. But since week 11, his turnover worthy play rate is down to 2.8%. It's much closer to the 2.6% rate he had last year. So since the bye, because he's healthier, he's playing at a much higher level, his decision-making is much better, and he's been able to extend players to play like Jordan Love. And I think that's something he hadn't been able to do before the bye because of his knee injury and then because of the growing injury too. So when Jordan Love is healthy, I think the best part of Jordan Love's game is his ability to manage the pocket, to avoid sacks. He's probably the best quarterback in the NFL avoiding sacks. His pressure to sack ratio is impressive. And I think when he's fully healthy and when he is able to move the pocket and to extend plays, to manage the pocket really well, I think that's when we see the best version of Jordan Love. And that's what we've seen over the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. He's playing his best ball at the right time, and hopefully that continues over the course of the next month and then into the playoffs as well. Again, we're being joined by Wendell Fajeda, A to Z Sports, covering the Packers. Does a tremendous job. Make sure to follow him on social media at WendellFP. All right, Wendell, the other thing that's kind of interesting about the offense is while Jordan Love is starting to play better, we are still seeing the overall pass rate for this team be down quite a bit. And I think the emergence of Josh Jacobs is kind of the go-to player within this offense has really been the reason for that. Obviously, earlier in the season when Jordan wasn't playing, they had Malik Willis. They were leaning on Josh Jacobs more as well. But it is interesting to kind of see Matt LaFleur have a more run-oriented approach for this team in 2024 so far.
Yeah, I think I agree completely with you that Josh Jacobs is the main reason for that, because last year the Packers had a great running back in Aaron Jones, but we know that he couldn't carry such a heavier workload like Josh Jacobs is doing now. And the Packers this year are 30th in pass rate. They are over the last 4 weeks, they are 29th in pass rate over expected. So absolutely the Packers are running the ball a lot. I think that's why ultimately they signed Josh Jacobs, because he could touch the ball 20, 25 times a game. And ultimately, I think that's this style of offense is what Matt LaFleur wants to run. Not necessarily this run heavy, but a run heavy offense for NFL standards these days. And I think LaFleur understands that Jordan Love is better when he doesn't have to play at such a high passing volume. Because Jordan Love he takes explosives. He is a big play hunter. But at the same time, if you're going to do a rhythm offense, a passing offense like the Packers had with Aaron Rodgers in the day, those games with 40, 45 passes, I don't think you're going to get the best out of Jordan Love. And if you can, for example, have a balanced offense with play action and with a strong run game, I think you have the best version of Jordan Love. He is a somewhat injury turnover prone quarterback, and if you can limit his situations and put him in favorable passing situations, I think you have the most out of him. There's a discussion between analytically inclined people and old school guys if the play action sets the better passing situations. And if you run more, you'll be able to pass better. But I think you can see the correlation between these factors for the Packers offense. And Jordan Love plays better when the run game is working. I think that's what the Packers are trying to do this year.
Yeah, I agree. And it's hard to make any argument that being balanced is any sort of bad thing, right? If you can run the football effectively with a player like Josh Jacobs and pass the ball effectively with Jordan Love, you're going to be in a pretty good spot. It's why the Packers are, I believe, 6th in scoring offense so far, and why they continue to be one of the better offensive teams in football. And I think the crazy thing is it still feels like there's meat on that bone. It still feels like they haven't exactly figured out the right formula on offense, and they can even get better as the season goes along. And I think that kind of goes back to getting Jaden Reed involved the right amount and figuring out what what targets need to go to which players. And I think once they get that figured out, and if they can even play that better brand of football moving forward, that could be very scary for the opposing defenses come playoff time. All right, speaking of defense, I want to ask you, you talked about something that is just the most nerdiest thing right up my alley. And that is, you know, obviously when the Packers needed some defensive back help a few years ago, they went to the practice squad route. They found Rasul Douglas off of Arizona's practice squad, brought him in, and he became such a really big player for Green Bay that season. And obviously up until the point that they traded him for a third round pick with Buffalo last season. But you went through and maybe identified some cornerbacks that could be found via practice squads that could maybe help Green Bay in a similar way that Rasul Douglas was. So what did you find as you kind of... look across the league and see what could be available for Green Bay to try to help a position of need right now?
Yeah, the first point is that it's really hard to get the decent players at this time of the year from other teams because helpful players tend to be on active rosters, right? So that's the first point. And that's how difficult and rare it was for the Packers to get Rasul Douglas in the first place in 2021. He was on the Cardinals practice squad at that time. The Packers signed him. And that's, I think, it's a big difference between Brian Gutekunst and Ted Thompson, because Gutekunst loves to claim players off waivers, to sign players from other teams' practice squads. He found Alan Lazard from the practice squad. He was with the Jaguars. And then Rasul Douglas, he's really good at that, I think. I wanted to send a shout out to Richmond Williams too, the Packers pro personnel guy, because these guys do a really good job with those things. I was trying to figure out some practice squad players around the league with some potential to help the Packers now. It's something hard to do because they are rare, but I found especially three players that I think the Packers could do something about it. And I think Trey Flowers now with the Colts is a good player, 29-year-old player. A lot of experience in the NFL, played a lot for the Seahawks. I think he's a guy, probably the best option to play outside corner right now for the Packers would be him. I think considering Javon Bullard's injury, Matt LaFleur said it's a week-to-week injury, so I think he will miss at least one or two games. I think Desmond King from the Ravens is a good option to play in the slot. He's basically a slot-only corner. But considering the Packers' situation there, I think, and with Keisha Nixon playing more as a boundary corner, slot corner is probably a need for the Packers, and Desmond King has played a lot of good football. It's crazy because King has been a good player throughout his NFL career, but it looks like teams don't like him as much as Twitter, and that's crazy, but I think he's a good player. And if the Packers, those guys are like high floor, low ceiling players. If the Packers want a higher ceiling player, a younger player, I think Andrew Booth is probably the better option. He's not exactly a good player because he hasn't been a good player in the NFL so far, but he's a former high draft pick from the Vikings. He was one of the first picks from the Vikings' current management structure, but I think he's a talented player at least, and he's only 24 years old at this point. So he's with the Cowboys now. And I think if the Packers want a player maybe with a higher ceiling, maybe working with Jeff Hafley and trying to develop him as a player, I think Andrew Booth would be the best option at this point.
Yeah, Andrew Booth taken 42nd overall by Minnesota, high second round pick in that draft. And it's reminiscent of Rasul Douglas, who was the top 100 draft pick in his class and played for multiple teams. I think he was on three different teams just that season before, you know, the Green Bay picked him up off the practice squad, just could not find a home. And it's weird sometimes how you just get the right player in the right setting at the right time, and you get that super talented guy that all of a sudden it has it click or figures it out or gets it, and it just works. So I've always been a Desmond King guy as well. That could be an interesting one, but if you're looking for a similar story to Rasul Douglas, it would kind of be that Andrew Booth sort of scenario. All right, Wendell, again, we're being joined by Wendell Fajeda, A to Z Sports. He covers the Packers, does a tremendous job of it. Again, you can find him on social media at Wendell FP. Before we get you out of here, Packers Seahawks, what are you looking for in this one, and what's your prediction for the game?
Yeah, I think it's a interesting matchup. I think styles make fights, right? And the Packers are a more run-centric team, as we were talking about. The Seahawks are a strongly pass-heavy team. They don't like to use much things to make life easier for Geno Smith. They are straight drop back, real drop back game, and a lot of passes. So I think the Packers will have an opportunity to, for example, the edge guys to play more than they have been. And it's a good opportunity for the Packers defense. That being said, I am of the reverse jinx mantra, and always that I bet on the Packers, they lose. So for no other reason, I'm going with the Seahawks 27-24, but I think the Packers, for real, seriously, I think the Packers have a really strong chance to have a strong defensive performance. Obviously, the defense with the middle of the field has been an issue, but I think this game is a good opportunity for the defensive front to have a stronger performance than they had during the season, and it's important for the Packers to get this win, clinch a playoff berth, and I think it's a strong game because everyone around is talking to Packers like they can beat good teams because they lost to the Lions, to the Vikings, to the Eagles. I think this is an opportunity to beat a really good team. The Seahawks are a really good team. They've won 4 in a row, and I think it might be a statement game for the Packers here late in the season.
Big fan of the reverse jinx. You take Seattle as much as you need to get that reverse jinx into effect, so I am very much pro that. Wendell, thank you so much for taking the time. What do you got coming out this week? Where can we find your work, and anything you want to plug on the way out here?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's Wendell FP, and then AtoZSports.com is everything there, and I appreciate you having me on, Andy.
Yeah, you're the absolute best. We'll definitely do it again sometime, Wendell. Again, if you're looking for him on social media, it's WENDELLFP. Make sure to follow him. And again, his work on A to Z Sports is absolutely fantastic. So check that out as well. He covers all things Packers. And if you're like me and like the nerdier side of things, is, you know, Wendell was obviously going through a lot of the great statistics and finding guys off of practice squads. It's right up my alley. It's going to be right up your alley as well. So check him out over on A to Z Sports. When we come back, we'll be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line 414-677-1250. This is the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, empowered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.